Good afternoon. I'm Linda Carlson, your host for the monthly Wellness Watch program with WGXC 90.7 FM on your dial. We're serving both Columbia and Greene County. And I have back with me Denise Phillips, who's a certified diabetic educator, registered nurse, certified diabetic educator. And Denise and I have been focusing on diabetes. We talked about what diabetes is, distinguished between type 1 and type 2. But we've really been talking about type 2 because there's so many things that people can do in changing lifestyle, their lifestyle behaviors, to get in better control with type 2. So we're going to stay there. And today we'll be talking about exercise. And hopefully in June I'll have a special guest who will be talking about nutrition. So welcome back, Denise.
Thank you, Linda. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So one thing we know about exercise, I mean, it's everywhere. We have our several health clubs. We've got Planet Fitness, I think, just opened here in Hudson. There's Summit Hill in Catskill. But we also have the Rip Van Winkle Bridge, which I walk every day. So we know that exercise, generally speaking, is good for everyone. It, you know, helps us lose weight, keep it off. We can, you know, burn those extra calories. In fact, I wear my pedometer and I see, ooh, 250 calories. Well, maybe I can have an ice cream today. I know that's not the way to do it, but I'll do that occasionally.
If it's good motivation, Linda, it's the way to go.
Okay, all right, good. I'll take it from the expert. And it also lowers the risk for other health problems. It can reduce your risk of heart attack or stroke and some cancers and bone loss. In fact, I think some of the stats around reducing risk of cancers, particularly for breast cancer, is if you walk 5 hours a week, you can reduce that risk by 50%. Also reduce a risk for recurrence. You'll get more energy. You can sleep better. It can reduce stress. There's just a lot of really valuable outcomes with exercise. But I know exercise, some people think, oh dear, I do have to go to those gyms that you just mentioned. Is that true?
No, Linda, that's a really, really good question. And you're right, a lot of people have that misconception. You don't have to go to the gym. Mm. Some experts say when you ask them what is the best exercise, it's something you enjoy doing.
Okay, so gardening, it's springtime, we're talking about
gardening, being outdoors, walking. If you don't have anywhere to walk, go to the mall. There's mall walkers you can sign up for sometimes on the weekends, or find a buddy to go out and be active with. Perhaps you enjoy a sport or something that involves walking. Walk around the reservoir, walk the bridge like you mentioned.
Yeah.
If you want to join a gym, fine, but it's not necessary.
Oh, well, so that should be good news.
Mm-hmm.
Good news. Now, for a diabetic, what can they expect to get from walking other than some of the items that I talked about here in terms of risk?
Well, according to the American Diabetes Association, exercise is an important part of the diabetes management plan. And it's been shown to improve your blood sugar control, as you said, reduce your cardiovascular risk factors and contribute to weight loss and improve your well-being. Now, what are they talking about with exercise? Their recommendation in general is about 150 minutes per week. That sounds like a lot, but when you break it down, it's 30 minutes on most days, which would be about 5 days a week.
Yeah, that's not so bad. I know that from my house to the bridge, it's 1 mile. Now I'm probably maybe 12, 15 minutes. So in 30 minutes, I can just walk up to the bridge and back. I don't even have to do the bridge if I did it every day.
And you know, Linda, you're making another good point, too. You have a pedometer. For someone who doesn't want a pedometer or doesn't have one, walk to the mailbox and back. Maybe the next day, find another landmark, like you mentioned, walk there and back.
And I like the mailbox analogy if it's at the end of your driveway. Not my house, if it's right outside the door,
no,
I didn't get to
make a difference. Although
if
you've never ventured outside your door, it might be a place to start.
It would be a good start. I know in our business we talk about small steps. So, yes, I could get there. But you could, you know, we've talked about logging blood sugars in the past. The same way with exercise, if you walk to the end of your driveway, count the steps. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Walmart in Catskill, if I park almost to the very end and walk in and out to the back of Walmart and back, I almost get 1,000 steps.
Wow.
And that's not even walking around.
That's significant.
So how many steps is usually what recommended?
They say in general 2,000 steps is about a mile.
Okay.
And then there's another school of thought that advocates 10,000 steps a day for weight loss, mm-hmm. or 5,000 steps a day. I think the takeaway really is find out where you're at now, and then see what you're doing and take steps to improve it.
Right, so
little
small
by little.
Incremental
exactly.
steps. Excuse the pun, listeners, we're talking about different kind of steps here. Another thing that I just found, I had been using my iPod,
mm-hmm.
and it does have fitness settings, so I could do the pedometer. I get a history, I get the calorie burn, I get the amount of time. But I now have become an iPhone junkie as well, and found something very interesting there that I think is going to build out. You can set your own walking program or your own fitness program, and it will help track.
That's great.
Because I think they say people who track do better.
Absolutely. Yes, you're absolutely right. If you're journaling or you're keeping a log, you're holding yourself accountable for what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it helps to continue that self-motivation. Oh, look what I did today.
Yeah.
I can do a little bit more, or I can certainly continue this tomorrow.
All right. So I did, 1,000 steps today,
mm-hmm.
tomorrow 1,050.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
mm-hmm.
I did read somewhere that people who do track or use the pedometers
mm-hmm.
even might get a mile further than people who are not using those particular tools.
Right, and there are a lot of tools out there for kind of techie people,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you mentioned the smartphone or the iPad or the iPod. I'm not as techie as you, and so I don't have the names down, but there's a lot of apps out there also that you can download from various sites. Many of them are free, and actually on the American Diabetes Association website, diabetes.org, they also have a section under their fitness area. I think it's called 24/7,
mm-hmm.
and you can utilize their tools to log in your activity also. So you can do things online or with a tool that's portable or on pencil and paper,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly. Yeah, I did, you know, I did go out to the diabetes website, the diabetes.org, before we start chatting here today. And they have a very nice setup out there,
mm-hmm.
around fitness.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what, let's see, there was the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see on my list here. Oh, here we go. Lower blood pressure. So it lowers blood pressure and exactly. What do we get out of that?
Helps your heart pump stronger and slower, so
yeah.
it's lowering your risk of cardiovascular disease.
Oh, and that's right. And we know that diabetics,
mm-hmm.
50% of them are at risk, or there's 50% risk for heart disease.
Higher risk. Yeah, if you have diabetes, you're the same risk as someone who's already had a heart attack.
Oh.
So it really can be significant. You know, Linda, while I'm thinking of it and we're talking about things related to the physician,
mm-hmm.
let's interject. Always good to start off with talking to your doctor about your exercise plans.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely right. Yeah, because they know what, you know, the treatment plan they have for you. They know what the medications you would. I want to have a conversation around the if you've changed, if you've added a medication that would bring my blood sugar down,
mm-hmm.
and I'm walking, and we know
mm-hmm.
the walking brings it down. What do I have to watch out for? So, what should we be watching out for when we're walking in terms of blood sugar, low blood sugar? What would I feel like?
You know, again, you might have signs of low blood sugar, yes, if you're doing a lot of walking, like shaking, sweating,
mm-hmm.
really, really hungry. Depends, again, on the medications that you're taking. bottom line, talk to your doctor first.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I want to start a physical education or a physical activity program, rather.
Yeah.
What do you recommend for me? Because they're going to look into your health history and your risk factors. Are you a smoker or a non-smoker?
Oh, good point.
Do you have a history of heart disease in your family or high cholesterol? And then you have to look at other health conditions, either related to diabetes, like kidney disease or kidney issues, eye pressure changes like glaucoma or retinopathy, and adjust your activity according to those, your doctor's parameters,
right,
for those conditions.
Right.
It's because you want to be safe and effective, avoid injury, but you want to reap the benefits of regular activity.
Exactly. Now, what for a diabetic, when they are walking or they're out, I think generally speaking, shouldn't they be carrying things to counter the low blood sugar? What, like,
that's,
for instance?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, if you're taking a medication that stimulates your body, to your pancreas, to produce more insulin, you're at a higher risk of lower blood sugar. So yes, definitely you should be carrying fast-acting carbohydrates, like a little thing of orange juice or hard candies or glucose tablets. And maybe you need to check your blood sugar before, during, or after exercise.
Oh, that's a really good suggestion. I hadn't even thought about
about
that. And now, the flip side of that checking, not only to avoid the low blood sugar, but you're going to be able to see what the impact of that walking is on your blood sugar.
Absolutely.
So that trend over time, there's an advantage for that tracking, not just for your own personal use, going back to the physician. It would help the physician better manage your care and your medications.
Absolutely. You can add your exercise journal activities into your blood sugar log so that you know on what days you do your activity. And you also may need a snack before you exercise, depending on the timing of your last meal or your next meal and the intensity of your exercise. Another important factor, the effects of the exercise can sometimes last 24 to 48 hours.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it may need an adjustment in your medication. You know, again, working with your doctor.
Right.
You may want to check your blood sugar more frequently because, again, if it's a change in your behavior, you always check your blood sugar until it stabilizes. Again, you know what's happening with your body.
You know, we're talking about exercise in, you know, general population, but I'd also like to point out one of the magazines, Diabetes Forecast, and I'm not quite sure which organization sends that out, but many times I've seen pictures on the cover of basketball players. There's a very famous, I'm not a sports person listener, so I can't tell you his name, but there's a basketball player. He's a diabetic. I think he might even be on insulin. He's not just type 2. He's younger, so it's highly likely he's a type 1. There have been some teen or young adult musicians who have been out there advertising some of the different continuous monitoring devices.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people not just walking the bridge, but they're playing basketball. They're playing golf. There's, you know, diabetes doesn't have to limit you from exercise.
Absolutely. And more and more famous folks are advocating exercise with diabetes. And you'll find their websites and what they do to stay fit and keep their blood sugar under control. So you're right, that's a really, really popular area now.
And another thing that our listeners can do, whether you have diabetes or not, you know, to support education, to support research. There are many walks. There's one for the Juvenile Diabetes Fund. So you get your exercise, you support some really important organizations, because with the new technology, there's something changing every day around treating diabetes. So
absolutely. And if you have pre-diabetes or borderline diabetes,
yeah,
adding exercise may help you to prevent that progression.
Actually, there was a study, I think, that the study was looking at a group of people who were put on a one of the very basic medications, and then the other arm of the study, it was a group of people who were really very vigilant and disciplined around behavioral changes, and behavioral changes meaning they were following a real food diet, that they were also exercising, and the government said, oh, wait a minute, I think we're going to stop this, because now we know that lifestyle changes, behavioral changes, can prevent the progression. Therefore, we think maybe that's a medicine. Now, I don't want everybody to think, oh, well, I'm not taking medicine, therefore I'm not exercising. But it doesn't cost anything.
It doesn't cost anything. And, you know, there's also other folks out there who maybe they're there for whatever physical ailment or condition they have, may not be able to do what they would like to do as
mm-hmm.
far as walking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you can go on the internet and there are tons of chair exercises. You
yeah.
can sit down and
yeah.
do activities. You can do yoga. You can do stretching. You can take a couple of cans out of your cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
No salt in the
no
cans
salt.
Now. You know, watch those low sodium. But do use them as light weights, you know, again, after talking to your doctor. But there are, you know, think outside the box, use your imagination.
Right. In fact, for the older population, there's something called silver sneakers,
mm-hmm.
silver sneaker
mm-hmm.
program. So there's something for everybody. Another, and I don't think we spent too much time, or did we get there? I don't remember from the beginning of our conversation. But stress management, depression.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the beneficial effects of exercise on blood sugar, but also we know that people with chronic diseases, could be heart disease, could be diabetes, that 36, maybe more than 36% of these people do experience some level of depression, and then the depression interferes with them taking care of themselves. They don't take care of themselves. They feel bad, and then they get more depressed, so it's a vicious cycle. So how does exercise help us along those lines?
Exercise is great for stress relief.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about taking a brisk walk. It just, you're using that pent-up energy, and you're applying it to something good, okay? Also, it raises endorphins. That's going to improve your mood.
Mm-hmm. That's the body's natural morphine.
You're right.
You get a natural high. So this whole thing around flow, it comes from the brain chemicals called endorphins. Yeah, body's natural morphine.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And it's fun. You know, it's enjoyable. It can be fun. If you're doing it regularly, even it can be self-motivating, but also you can be proud of yourself
mm-hmm.
for taking an active role in your health management.
So you can start breaking that cycle of feeling bad. I'm doing something. It's not all up to the doctor to make
mm-hmm.
me better. I can do this.
Exactly. And remember that you and your doctor are a team. You collaborate together to create the best individualized treatment plan for you. And if you're able to include exercise in that, you have that conversation together and you say, hey, what can I do?
Yeah.
What can I do? What am I willing to do? And what will I do?
Actually, you know, Denise and I are both familiar with some different coaching models. And one of the drivers is that we want to know if people are ready, willing, and able. So for our listeners, if you're contemplating, we'll do a little bit of coaching over the airwaves. We've got a transmission arts going on here. So ready, willing, and able. Ask yourself that question. Am I ready? Am I thinking about it? I think I can do it. I'm willing to do it. What do I need to do? How can I get prepared? I'm able to do it. I really don't have restrictions. My physician thinks it's a great idea. So just ask yourself those three questions. And if I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able, what's my next step? For me, it's going out to iTunes and downloading free podcasts onto my iPod because I get bored easily. You know, we didn't talk about barriers to well, doing anything that's good for us. So boredom is one area. What about people who are trying to do this alone? What is there? Does that work, or is there something else that can?
For some people, it may work. For some people, they may prefer that. But when you connect with others, you know, you're focusing on socialization as well as kind of a buddy system where you can get reinforcement and encouragement from each other. Maybe there's someone you know who wants to improve their health as well, take charge of their health management. So whether they have diabetes or not, walking is good for everyone, or exercise, physical activity.
Yeah, so that supportive environment can, I mean, you're going to feel like, I like when you said socialization. Socializing also improves our mood. It will help with depression, so that eventually you will achieve a level of normalcy. You know, I have diabetes, but I'm managing it. I have to spend a little bit more time around what I'm eating, make sure I exercise. But you know what, listeners? Everybody should be doing that. My experience with changing my own eating habits and looking, reading diabetes forecast and looking at recipes, it really is how the general population should be eating.
That's a really good point, Linda. Yeah, healthy behaviors are for everyone.
Yes.
And, you know, everything that you do today, all these changes that you make, the small changes, you're not only improving your health for today, you're carrying that forward for the rest of your life. It's going throughout your whole lifespan, and you're going to, you know, not have hospitalizations or extra doctor visits in the future because you're maximizing your health today.
Yeah, and not only that for yourself, but for the people out there who have children. Again, the studies show that the children will mimic their parents' behaviors, and we know that childhood obesity is epidemic and type 2 is epidemic for children today. So get your kids out with you. Get them out away from the TV.
That's another great support system.
Yeah.
Everybody go for a walk after supper.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting more daylight now. Everybody outside, come away from the computers.
Yes, I'm with you on that one. So we have covered a lot today. We're coming up here almost on 25 minutes. So some of the, we'll run through here, and Denise and I will share our list of benefits. We've got 10 of them. I'm going to start at the bottom with, it's going to help you be more flexible. It's going to be easier to move when you're active. That's important to me.
Build stronger bones and muscles from the weight-bearing activities like walking. That is really great, especially as we're getting a little bit older.
Actually, yeah, we didn't even talk about the benefit, though, that the long bones, and for women and calcium, osteoporosis, definitely that walk, right? Oh, so we talked about reducing the stress and anxiety. There's always a possibility that if you're really in good control and you've made some significant changes, that you might be able to back off on some of your doses of your pills. But again, that will be up to your physician to make that determination. And then just losing weight. Again, that's important for all of us.
Losing weight, and also, you know, 30 minutes on most days, you may have to go beyond that for the weight management.
Oh, that's right.
That's a good point.
That's
okay.
Right, yeah. So we also have some things that can happen, some good things around our lab values.
Oh, absolutely. Cholesterol, the effects on cholesterol. It's going to raise your good cholesterol. That's the HDL. Think of H for healthy. Helps to lower your bad cholesterol. The LDL, think of L for lousy, and lower your triglycerides. That's going to make your heart healthy.
In fact, I'll tell you a little bit about me. My cholesterol, no matter how much I walked and was changing my diet, I couldn't get my LDL down. And for women, the HDL should be 50 or above. Mine's 102 from walking and eating my apples. So, it works. It really works. So overall, I think the message that we want to leave everybody with is that exercise or increased activity is good for you. 10 things that we just listed, We have a lot of resources. We have Columbia County's beautiful spot, you know, a lot of part Olana, you know, places to walk there, and the river and the bridge. Also, even further south, if you want an outing for the day, is the walkway over the Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
I just did that with a friend about a month ago. So with the good weather, we just have a lot of opportunity. And I believe that the consortium in for Columbia and Greene County, that they have an initiative around helping kids start walking to school. You know, that they,
mm-hmm.
if they live within a reasonable distance, that they can walk to school.
That's a great
idea. I mean, I walk to school.
Oh, so did we.
Yeah.
Not nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there are some dangers out there, but
mm-hmm.
we do live, I think, in a pretty safe community, that we need to get our kids out. We need everybody to start moving.
Absolutely.
So do you have anything that you want to leave our readers with?
Well, I'm just going to reiterate, check with your doctor, especially if you have any other health conditions that require you to modify your activity. And refer you back to the American Diabetes Association, which is www.diabetes.org. Also the American Heart Association, heart.org, Center for Disease Control, cdc.gov, and the National Institute of Health, nih.gov. All have great, great information about physical activity and diabetes.
Great. So if any of our listeners have specific questions for Denise and myself, or in preparation for our discussion around nutrition, do send those questions to info@wgxc.org. You might put the subject Wellness Watch, and I will get those, and we will answer those for you during our program. And if you have any ideas or anything you want us to talk about, we'll be glad to do the research for you. We're both enjoying this time once a month, and look forward to sharing more of what we're learning. So thank you very much. You're listening to WGXC at 90.7, serving both Columbia and Greene counties, communities in both counties.